This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes, broadcasting from the Fox News bunker in New York City. And I hope you are having a great start to your work week. Tony Perkins is out, and we'll be talking with him in just a few moments. If you've been following the news, you know what's happening in Louisiana with all of the flooding, the historic flooding and the devastation there. And of course, Tony and his family are part of that disaster. Their home was flooded, and they are in the process of recovery. And Tony will be talking with us at the bottom of the hour from Louisiana, giving us an update on the cleanup and the restoration efforts underway there in the bayou state. And also, if you are interested in helping out and being a part of the efforts to clean up, I would encourage you to go to toddstarnes.com right now. I have compiled a list of ministries and organizations that are involved in the disaster relief effort, and these organizations have been vetted. They certainly have my stamp of approval, and I can assure you that when you send them a dollar for the flood victims in Louisiana, they're going to get that dollar. And also, there's some information for you and your church groups on how you can be a part of the restoration efforts. A lot of churches and groups are down in Louisiana right now doing mud outs and cleaning out the homes so they can be salvaged. As a matter of fact, just a few moments ago on Twitter, Franklin Graham from Samaritan's Purse, and of course they have a huge team of folks on the ground in Louisiana. Franklin Graham tweeted out a photograph of about a dozen or so Liberty University students who are there, and they are working, volunteering their time. What a great group of students. What a great university, Liberty University, some wonderful folks down there. But we'll be getting into some more of the particulars, including President Obama's pending arrival there a little bit later in the program. 866-372-7234 is the number. 866-372-7234 is the number to call in if you'd like to weigh in on some of the big issues we're talking about. And a bit of good news to share with you on this Monday morning. I can always use good news on a Monday, that and a jug of sweet tea. But this is very good news for moms and dads who have children in public schools. A federal judge ruled earlier this morning that the Obama administration's edict, their mandate that public schools must allow boys into the girls' locker rooms, did not pass muster. So the good news is this is not going to happen. This was a case involving the state of Texas. The attorney general down there, Ken Paxton, and more than a dozen other states signed on to this lawsuit. And they are very happy that the ruling will prevent boys from going into girls' locker rooms, showers, and bathrooms. This is a huge victory for moms and dads and for those that are following the culture war. I'm reading here from a statement that the attorney general sent out earlier today. He says, we are pleased that the court ruled against the Obama administration's latest illegal federal overreach. And the attorney general goes on to say, this president is attempting to rewrite the laws enacted by the elected representatives of the people and is threatening to take away federal funding from schools to force them to conform. That is from the attorney general of the Lone Star State earlier today. Now, if you haven't been following this this very, very troubling story, last year, many schools around the Fruited Plain began receiving letters from the Department of Education. And they were told that unless they allowed little boys who identify as girls to use the bathrooms and the locker rooms and the showers of their choosing, they could lose federal funding. Now imagine if you are a small town school district and you receive this kind of edict from the government. You know that the budget is tight. You know you do not have enough money to fight the lawsuit. So many of these schools capitulated. They did what the government told them to do. And not just the small school districts, but also the large ones. There's a battle going on right now in North Carolina. Many of you know about this this battle. The school district over there in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, filled with radical leftists. And these folks actually wanted to not just let the kids choose the bathrooms and the locker rooms, but they wanted to let them choose what athletic teams they wanted to play on. It's simply bizarre what they were trying to accomplish there in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County. But because of the federal court rulings, that part of their cultural change, this radical change, was put on hold. They actually told the teachers in this school district that they couldn't call the boys and girls boys and girls. What's wrong with these people? Instead, they wanted them to call the students scholars. Todd, what happens if a kid is dumb as rocks? Well, you got to call him a scholar. You can't call him a boy or a girl because that might offend somebody. Sweet mercy, America. 866-372-7234 is the number. I should have made two jugs of sweet tea. It's going to be one of those days, folks. I do believe it. But anyway, the good news for folks in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, and for folks up in the Alexandria, Virginia area, and many other school districts across the country, you don't have to worry about this for right now, which is a good thing. I think we have a statement here from Alliance Defending Freedom somewhere, and I'll get to that. Here we go, right in front of me. This is from Alliance Defending Freedom. Matt Sharp is weighing in on this, one of their fine attorneys there. And here's what Matt Sharp has to say. The Obama administration cannot unilaterally disregard and redefine federal law to accomplish its political agenda of forcing girls to share locker rooms and showers with boys. The court in this case made clear the administration ignored the federally required public notice and comment process, as well as the crystal clear meaning of Title IX in its attempt to force its will on the American people. And he's absolutely right. Many moms and dads were left in the dark. The school districts, these progressive educators, were doing their dirty work in the dark of night. That's exactly what happened in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County. By the way, they used a unicorn, a purple unicorn, to take teachers on this class called Transgenderism 101. The unicorn, a make-believe creature, there in Charlotte, Mecklenburg County. The number again, 866-372-7234, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that, especially if you happen to be a mom or a dad with a child in public schools. Now, in a related story today, our good friends at the American Family Association have launched a letter, or written a letter, rather, to the folks over at Target. Now, many of you know that Target, the nation's second largest discount retailer, decided to let men into the ladies' room. And not just the ladies' room, but also the changing rooms there at Target. And the American Family Association launched a boycott. 1.4 million people signed on to the boycott. People are still signing up today. It's huge, as Donald Trump might say. So Target has had some financial difficulties as a result of this. The stock has pretty much plummeted. It's gone up and down, but here lately it took a huge nosedive last week. And they have decided that out of the goodness of their heart, they are going to spend $20 million to add private single-stall bathrooms at many of its stores. Not changing the policy now, but they're adding these bathrooms. They're giving the impression they're changing the policy, but they're not changing the policy. And they're saying the boycott had nothing to do with their financial difficulties. Well, let's look at this. Let's break this down for just a moment. First, Target stock has taken a pounding. According to MarketWatch, second quarter earnings fell to $680 million. Revenue fell 7.2%. Here's the other indisputable fact. More than 1.4 million customers, have joined American Family Association's boycott. Now, the debate is whether there is a correlation between those two facts. And I believe there is. Folks aren't buying Nutter Butters at Target anymore, folks. They're going somewhere else. Now, American Family Association conceded this point. Kathy Smith, who is their chief financial officer, was doing an interview with the Fortune magazine. And she admitted that some of their customers may have had a problem with their transgender bathroom policy. Yeah, by some, about 1.4 million. A lot of folks. So here's what Tim Wildman, the president of the American Family Association, has decided to do. He wrote this letter to Brian Cornell, the CEO of Target, there in Minneapolis, their headquarters. And he said, look, here's the issue. And I think this is a very important point, folks, and one to pay attention to. Here's what Mr. Wildman says. We don't feel that the transgender community poses a threat to other shoppers. Our major concern was that Target's policy would grant sexual predators easier access to their victims by allowing men in women's restrooms and changing areas. And that puts women and girls in danger. And he went on to lay out his case and pointed out the incidents that occurred in Target stores in places like Massachusetts and Idaho and Texas. So, folks, here's the bottom line. The American Family Association says their boycott against Target is going to continue until they agree that protecting the safety and privacy of women and children is of paramount concern. And that's a quote from Tim Wildman. And this is a tough one. Look, I'm not telling you where to go out and go do your shopping, but I'll tell you, it's hard. I was at the mall the other day. We have a mall in Brooklyn where I live among the indigenous liberal people. And I went to the mall looking for this this part for my computer. And I was at a computer store, and they said, oh, we don't have this, but Target does. Jeez-a-loo. So I'm doing without the part for right now. Can't shop at Target. That music means we've got to take a break. 866-372-7234 is the number. Your calls. Coming up after the break, this is Washington Watch. And welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Todd Starnes in for Tony Perkins. The number to call in, 866-372-7234. To the phones we go. Joe is calling in from Texas. Joe, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Can you hear me?
Joe, we can hear you.
Okay. Hey, I love you. I appreciate what you're doing. And I'm a public school teacher in Texas and just wanted to make a point about that and Target, if I may. Number one, in Texas, we study, we do training every year in school. And one of the trainings last week was Chapter 2, I believe 61 of the Texas Family Code, which calls it child abuse, which is under a mandatory obligation to report if there is even something as far-reaching as neglecting or inadequate supervision for children. And so I'm thinking 6 months ago, when sanity ruled, we would have been obligated to report any business, much less a school or situation there, that would have allowed or enabled or codified, much less, a man going into a woman's restroom. That's just sick and sick thinking to think that it's compassion to enable confusion, gender distinction, not gender confusion.
And Joe, you raise a very interesting point. You might want to turn your radio down so we don't have the feedback there, Joe. But one of the issues facing the folks in Charlotte, North Carolina, moms and dads were left out of the discussion process. For example, if their child, Jack, went to school and he became Jill at school, in other words, he wasn't out to his parents as a transgender person. The school was not obligated under their mandates to tell mom and dad. And that is a huge problem for parents when they are left out of the decision-making process. Now, I know you wanted to say something about Target, too. What's your take on that?
Well, just a thought. That I know that two times this summer, including about 2 weeks ago, Janet Porter's organization, Faith to Action, sponsored and hosted a national, you know, Don't Target Our Daughters Day, where we would actually take the boycott, if you will, and go public with it. And we found here in Texas that many people still didn't even know about the boycott and don't even know what's going on at Target. And so it was really a public service announcement that really wasn't going to be heard unless we went out to Target to tell people, to warn people. And I would suggest we did it for the back to school a couple weeks ago because that's a big push for their retail. And I would suggest that we consider doing it again around Black Friday or Christmas shopping, because they don't need to accommodate confusion. What they need to do is provide a unisex bathroom, not for those of us who still respect males as males and females as females, but for those who may be uncomfortable with that. Not to suggest that a person who's got a problem with the confusion has the problem.
Joe, I want you to hold on for a second. We're going to get you one of my new T-shirts. Thank you for your call. By the way, Joe, you're getting the gun-toting, Bible-clinging, patriotic American T-shirt, and it is scientifically proven, Joe, to repel liberals. So wear it in good health, my friend. Joe, hold on. We're going to get your information there. Let's go back to the phones. David is calling in from the great Commonwealth of Virginia. Hi, David.
Yeah, hey, Todd. Thanks for taking my call. I'm a big fan. It's so refreshing to hear a guy speak the truth unabashedly. I mean, we answer to a higher call. We know that. We win in the end. God's word will stand. But in the middle of this thing, I want to really encourage people to do two things. First, to the dads out there especially, please call your local Target. What I did when this first came out is I called the local Target around here, and I asked to speak with the manager. I was very polite, but I just informed him that we enjoyed shopping at his store, but because they enacted this policy, we would not spend a dime there until they retracted it. And I told him, very politely that I'm sure he understands if he has a wife or a daughter, that our wives and daughters deserve better than this. And, you know, we have not shopped there since. That was 5 or 6 months ago. And the other thing I encourage parents to do is call the principal of your school. I called my principal when the Obama administration tried to cram this thing down our throats. And I'm in a very conservative area here. And the principal assured me that he would get me a copy of that letter and that he would talk to the parents before any decisions were made. I have not heard anything. But, you know, most of those Target stores are franchises. And if enough of those local franchises are bleeding money, you better believe they're going to call corporate office and say, you know, look, we got a problem out here. So I would encourage those two things. Dads, please call Target, defend your wives and daughters. And then moms and dads, call your school and tell them how frustrated you are with what's going on and that your kids deserve better and you want to make sure they're protected.
David, those two great points. Thanks for calling in, David. The number to call in if you would like to weigh in on this issue, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And one point that David made was making that phone call to the local school. There's no need to be mean and nasty about it, because many of these principals and the school teachers are caught in the middle. They're caught in the crossfire. And many of them feel the same way you do. But they are unable to do anything because of the rules coming from the federal government. again, you need to understand this, moms and dads. The Obama administration, they have turned our public schools into indoctrination centers. And that is why we have seen such a major, such a massive cultural shift over the past 7 or 8 years in this country. It's simply remarkable. But if we are truly going to save traditional American values, it's going to have to happen at the local school district level. And that requires you getting involved, perhaps running for the school board, going to those PTA meetings, taking a look at what your kids are doing for homework and the textbooks they're learning from. Lots of things that you could be doing as a mom and dad to get involved. All right, more of your calls coming up after the break. The number, if you would like to weigh in, 866-372-7234. And you can also leave a comment at toddstarns.com. This is Washington Watch, and from New York City, I'm Todd Starnes. Welcome back to Washington Watch, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes, broadcasting from the Fox News bunker here in New York City, filling in for Tony Perkins, who is back home in Louisiana dealing with the aftermath of historic flooding. And on the phone with us now is Tony Perkins. Tony, how are you guys doing down there?
Well, Todd Starnes, we are, I wouldn't say we've turned the corner yet, but we are, we're getting volunteers in from across the country. We're putting out meals, hot meals. We're beginning to get a number of houses cleaned out. This is, as you mentioned, historic flooding in the parish in which our church resides, Greenville Springs Baptist Church. 60% of the entire parish, that's the equivalent of a county, was underwater right across the river for us in the adjacent parish, which about half our congregation is from. 80% of that parish was underwater. There's been nothing like this in recorded history here in modern history in Louisiana to compare this to.
Tony, I was talking with our radio station that carries my commentaries in Lafayette, Louisiana, which is Acadiana, what folks would know as Cajun country. And they tell me that almost 10,000 homes in that area were destroyed or damaged by the floodwaters. And many folks in that part of the state feel like they've been left out because the focus has been on Baton Rouge, where there was just such massive devastation. But to be honest with you, it seems like nationwide, there really hasn't been the attention directed at Louisiana that, quite frankly, should be directed at the state based on the reports we're getting from yourself and from others.
Well, that's true. In fact, I just walked in the office here from over in the gymnasium. We're hosting Sean Hannity. He's taping his show, in fact, starting in just a few moments, and I was talking with him. He just toured several of the parish surrounding here, and he said, this is unbelievable. He said, I've never seen anything like it. This story hasn't been told, and that's true. We've had in East Baton Rouge Parish alone, there were 40,000 homes that were lost. This is, again, very significant. And like what's happening here at my home church, this is a faith-based private initiative in responding to this disaster. As I talked about last week on the program, my first phone call after my family got out of the boat was to call Franklin Graham at Samaritan's Purse. They've been down here since Tuesday of last week. They've cleaned out a number of homes. They have close to 1,000 applications for people to have their homes gutted and cleaned out so they can hopefully at some point begin the rebuilding process. We're serving over 1,000 meals a day to people in this community that have no ability to cook a hot meal. This is going to be going on for some time. This is not a short run. It's going to be a long-term undertaking to rebuild this community. And you know, I think it, as I told my congregation yesterday, it should cause us to empathize more with those who are suffering and those who are without.
It must be a hard thing, Tony, for folks in Louisiana, because I know they're hard workers, very proud folks. They're sort of resistant to accept charity. They want to be the ones giving. But in a situation like this, this is the moment for us to serve them and to say, let us help you. What are you hearing from your fellow church members there in Greenville Springs? What's the mood of the people there in Louisiana?
Well, you're right. Normally, they're doing the helping, but they're in a situation where they need the help. Yesterday morning, for those that were in our congregation in the morning service, you know, simply asked those whose homes flooded, please, you know, stand up. We want to pray for you. Over a third of the congregation stood up. That's those that could make it to church because so many people lost their cars as well as their homes. There's a resilience. I think there's certainly a grieving time when, you know, your major investment you make in life is your home, and that's all gone, and you're thinking about how you're going to do this again. I just was talking to a couple, 78 years old, a house they've had for 42 years, destroyed in the flood. But they've kind of emotionally turned the corner because their house was finished today and being gutted down to the studs. They're beginning to catch a glimpse that they can rebuild and that there's a future there. So it's going to be a process, but we're learning community in this church and in the community, because it's not just this church. We're reaching out in the community surrounding here, helping meet needs like never before.
Tony, I want to ask you about Donald Trump. You were there when he came down on Friday to visit and to comfort those in Baton Rouge and in Louisiana. What was your reaction to him being there? Was it a political stunt, or was there something genuine there?
No, let me tell you how that. And I've not been on my program. I've had guests come in, so I haven't been able to tell the whole story on that. But I called the Trump campaign. I called his campaign manager and said, look, we could use the help of Donald Trump down here just to bring attention to what's happening. Because I know in a presidential campaign, the media follows it. So they debated it throughout the day last Thursday, and at the end of the day said, yes, we'll come. However, we don't want media. We're not bringing media. Do not tell anyone. Do not tell the media. He wants to come down. He wants to see it firsthand. And so this was not. And I mean, they told me, do not tell anyone we're coming. And so it was to come and to see. And I think, quite frankly, I think it was a game changer for his campaign, because he in the time I spent with him, both here at our church and then touring around the area, he was visibly moved by what he saw. He got out at one point.
And Tony, I'm going to ask you to can you hold on, Tony? We're coming up on the break. You know how this works. So, folks, we're going to hang tight. Tony Perkins is coming back. We've got to go to break. This is Washington Watch, and I'm Todd Starnes. All right, welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Todd Starnes. On the phone with us from Louisiana, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins. Tony, two more questions for you. I just want to know, what is Donald Trump like once the cameras are turned off?
You know, it was interesting. I had that conversation with a number of people who met him here at the church last week when he was here. And they said, you know what, he's nothing like what you see on TV. He was very thoughtful. He was listening. And people said, you know what, he actually, I thought he really cares. I said, that's actually the Donald Trump that I've seen in the private meetings that I've been in with him. He does listen. He's not, I don't know if it's a persona that he does when he's in public or it's the way the media catches him, but he is much different in private. And he was, as again, I go back to what I said, he was visibly moved by what he saw. As we got out of the car at one point, unscheduled, stopped the Secret Service, said, hey, we want to get out here. Mike Pence and Donald Trump and I got out, and they just walked down the street and met some of the neighbors. The whole neighborhood flooded. They were tearing stuff out. They just sit there and talked to him, took pictures with him. It made a huge impact on the morale of this community by having him come down here when the president would not break with his vacation and his golf game to come down and check on Americans. Again, let me just remind you, nobody here was looking for anything from the government other than the fact that they cared and they were willing to make it a priority to tell the other citizens of this country that, hey, can you help out your fellow Americans? And that's, in fact, what they've done. And Donald Trump did that. He made a contribution to the relief effort as well and set a good example. And I'm very glad and thankful. Even the Democratic governor of our state had to admit that he was grateful that Donald Trump came and brought attention to what's happening.
Yeah, even former Senator Mary Landrieu weighed in. I nearly fell out of my lazy boy on that one, Tony Perkins.
You can't deny it. It had an impact.
It did.
It changed the media attention, and it's all because Donald Trump came.
And, Tony, I think that was the whole point, because, again, the president on vacation, whacking golf balls at the fancy golf course and hobnobbing with the rich and famous there in Martha's Vineyard, could not be troubled to take a flight down to Louisiana. He could take time to host a fundraiser or attend a fundraiser for Hillary Clinton, but he could not do that. And as a result, I believe the mainstream media just simply ignored what was happening in Louisiana. Tony, I said this in my commentary earlier today. The national media, they think that area west of the Hudson River is a vast wilderness. If it sprinkles in New York City, they get breaking news coverage. But what happened in Louisiana, nary a blip on the radar. So I want to ask you, what do you expect is going to happen tomorrow when President Obama finally shows up?
Well, here's one I expect will not happen. I do not expect him to come out to our church like Donald Trump did or like Sean Hannity did. I think he's going to be somewhere else in a government shelter talking to government agents who are working on this. He's not going to be talking to the faith-based community who are out here on the front lines meeting the needs of people and not worried about bureaucratic red tape. I mean, I just, I just said, look, we don't want to bother with you. We just want to get it done. So we're going to do all this through the private sector and through the faith-based community. And so I don't expect him to come out and highlight that because that runs counter to his focus of stripping us of religious liberty. This is the effect of religious liberty. You have organizations that embrace their faith, and as a result of embracing their faith, they embrace their neighbors. And they're out there volunteering to go into muck and sewage-laden debris to tear out the homes of people they don't know. That is the result of religious freedom. And when this president and politicians like him work to strip away that freedom, you strip away the very incentive that makes America the kind of country that people long to be a part of, where neighbor cares for neighbor.
Well said, Tony. We really appreciate you taking some time. We know you're slammed down there. And, Tony, I hope you know that a lot of people around the country are praying, not just for you and your family, but all of the good people there in the state of Louisiana.
Well, thank you, Todd. Thank you for filling in on the program. And again, when Trump was coming down here, I wanted to tell my favorite reporter in advance, but I was sworn to secrecy.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for that, Tony. Appreciate it. Tony Perkins, everybody, from the Family Research Council. By the way, I know many of you have wanted to reach out in some capacity to lend a helping hand to the recovery efforts. Go to toddstarnes.com, and we have a posting there with links to many organizations that are doing just that. We vetted these folks. The dollar that you send down there to Louisiana, it's going to get there. So I hope that you will definitely consider doing your part to help our friends in the Bayou State. We have a lot of phone calls backed up here. The number 866-372-7234. Let's go to Bob in Illinois. Hi, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Tom?
All right. What's on your mind, Bob?
Well, two things. One is, what did Hillary Clinton say and Donald Trump say about the Target situation? And two, there was a situation where there was a boy that thought that he was a girl and wanted to go into the girls' locker room. And the school said no, and they had lawsuits thrown at them, and they said, okay, well, we'll give you a separate facility. And it was a facility that was used by the faculty, and they said, we'll just let you have it. And the people said, no, he gets to go into the girls' facilities no matter whose rights are stepped on. And I'm trying to see what your thought on it is. I appreciate your comments, Todd.
Well, Bob, thanks for calling in. Bob from Illinois. You know, Bob, one of the problems here is it's this idea of live and let live. Isn't that what President Obama told us after the Supreme Court ruled on gay marriage? He said, oh, this isn't going to impact you at all. You just live your life and let other people live their lives. But that's ultimately not what they want. They want you to accept the way they live. They want you to accept their viewpoint. And anything else, anything less than that, you are considered to be a bigot. You're told that your views are not welcome in the public arena. That's what's happening here. That's why the Obama administration is trying to crack down on public schools, because they know that's where the indoctrination can take place, away from mom and dad. That's what's happening here, Bob. All right, let's go to Eric in Oklahoma. Eric wants to weigh in on Target. Hi, Eric.
Todd, love you, man. Thank you for all that you do and for the news and entertainment. Say, I wanted to tell you why that is that we're, as a family, are not participating in the Target boycott. And here's why, Todd. Okay, and it basically is a conservative principle that I think is being hurt here, and that's this: competition. The biggest competition for Target is Walmart. Walmart then becomes empowered to do what they did recently, several months ago, when they helped to defeat a family-friendly bill in the state of Arkansas. So therefore, Todd, we say, look, if we're going to be consistent, then we stopped shopping, by the way, at Walmart about 10 years ago because we didn't think they were good for the country or for the family. And then we started shopping at Target then. And here's the deal, Todd. It seems to me that we are so, strain at a gnat, so to speak, and swallow a camel. People will send their children off to government centers of pagan indoctrination to be brainwashed 8 hours a day. We home educated our eight, but yet they can't go to Target. Come on, man, give me a break. Are you kidding me? We just don't see a consistency. So what would you say to me about that, Todd?
Well, look, Eric, first, I appreciate your call, and you ought to try the deep-fried camel. It's not too bad from what I hear. This whole issue of boycotting, I think it's up to the individual person. I'm not going to tell you, Eric, that you and your family should boycott Target. That's between you and your wife. That's a family decision to make. And look, Eric, you raise a good point. You do have to pick and choose. But in this particular instance, I think the what Target was trying to do was so egregious and so in your face that I really respect the American Family Association for stepping up and saying, you know what, this is wrong and this has to be fixed because it's putting people in danger. Eric, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Let's go to the great state of Ohio, the Buckeye State. Mark is on the line. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Todd. This is Mark in Ohio. Thank you for everything that you do. Just a couple points. On Target, I think it's fantastic with what the American Family Association is doing. I signed up. I think more people should. And like the last gentleman said, being involved and boycotting, if that's your choice, according to your values, that's fantastic. The other thing with the schools, something that more people should do if they're upset is stop sending your kids to the public schools. I know the last guy was talking about homeschooling, but there's a variety of other options. There is e-schooling, and although you may be hooked into the public system, what we found is that it makes the public system work harder if your child is at home going through the e-system, because a lot of times that is linked to the local schools, and that makes them work harder, but they don't have the butts on the seats. And as we all know, if the kids aren't in the schools, you don't need as many teachers, and they start to freak out. The other thing is, lastly, with Tony Perkins' visit down in Louisiana, he was talking about the churches and taking care of each other down there in a time of a critical incident or crisis without the government's involvement. And he talked about this is what happens when we have First Amendment rights of freedom of religion. But my question is, and then I'll get off the line here, what religions are represented in a time of crisis? Is it just Christianity? Do we see any Islamic centers reaching out and helping people down there, or is it only the Christian faith folks that are doing it?
That's a good question. I appreciate that call. But Mark, I to be honest, I don't know the answer to your question. I do know that a number of Protestant churches, Baptist and Lutheran, Episcopalian folks, the Catholics are very involved in those efforts. So I don't know the answer to that question. But I would hope that all religious groups would be out there doing their part to help their neighbors, regardless of whether or not they go to the Baptist church or they go to the Methodist church or wherever they go to church. So I certainly hope that that's happening. I'm sure somebody will have that answer and give us a call. All right, back to the phones we go. Melissa is in the state of Indiana, the home of Mike Pence. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I just have kind of an idea about how maybe, I don't know if it would work or not, but just kind of a suggestion, gender locker rooms or bathrooms or whatever. And if my kid was going to a public school, because not everybody can their kids, you know, to a private school or home school or whatever. And if their only other option, like my daughter, she's divorced with two boys, she doesn't have any other options other than a public school. Stop sending your kids to gym. They don't have to share a locker room. Enough parents got to get...
Well, I think, Melissa, I'm sorry, you are on a bad connection. If you could try to call us back, Melissa, I'm sorry about that. But I see your point there. And again, talking about the privacy issues for boys and girls in public schools when it comes to locker rooms and bathrooms, everybody is so focused on the rights of the transgender student. What about everybody else's rights? What about their rights? All right, the number to call in, I think we have another line open, 866-372-7234. Let's go back to Ohio. Jordan's on the line. Hi, Jordan.
Hi there. How you doing?
All right. What's on your mind?
Well, you touched on a couple things that I thought would be interesting. Initially, the thought crossed my mind as Tony was talking about the flooding, the nature of faith, actually. First off, how would you define faith?
Well, go ahead and answer that question, Jordan.
Okay. I noticed a lot of people like to describe it as, putting your trust in somebody. And I can kind of see how it would be similar to that. But what I notice is that, like, people like to draw a parallel where you put trust in your spouse, and that they'll be faithful to you, and
so Jordan, I hate to rush you up here, but we have about 30 seconds left, so go ahead and get your point.
Well, it feels like there's no way for trust in God to really be betrayed. Like, there's no criteria for failure there. Imagining that there would be a test, for example, if you could test God, what's the criteria for failure?
Jordan, that's a good point. Thank you for weighing in. To the phones we go. Our last caller is from Perry in Illinois. Hi, Perry.
I thought two callers ago was going to get to the point that I was wanting to make, but they didn't do it. In Indiana, I'm from Illinois, of course, but I wish we had this in Illinois. Indiana, the taxes that go in for paying for the schooling and everything like that, it goes to the school the student goes to. For a student, so if they chose to go to a private school, that funding helps reduce the cost of the private school for the students. And if other states would do that, then the public schools would listen to the people more, because then they would have to be competitive with private schools, where you could take your child out and go to a private school if you didn't like the things they're doing with the transgenders or bathrooms or whatever, because they can't.
And Perry, I hate to do this to you, but we are plumb out of time. I don't know what happened, folks, but that music means we have to go and say goodbye. So the good news is I'm going to be back tomorrow, 5 o'clock Eastern, and we're going to have a great time. I'm Todd Starnes, and this is Washington Watch.